Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, Lord of the universe, as one body we come imagining, thanking, praising you for the reality of those all around the world gathering in worship and sharing the bread and the cup. We thank you for the word, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for your word written, and ask that you would speak from your word and through Allie to our hearts and minds and wills. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture for this morning is Isaiah 55. Listen for God's word to us. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come. Buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for God will pardon abundantly. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, friends, it is so good to see you all. And I truly feel the scripture of coming, being led out in joy. You blessed me in going out and into new work, and it is such a joy and an experience of peace to be with you all. Thank you. And for those of you that I haven't met, you are a part now of a beloved community, and I pray that you would find your sense of belonging in God's people here. Peace like a river. We're going to sing that song after we listen to me talk for a little while. It's an elusive concept, especially these days. We seem like the news cycle is ever on a roller coaster of things that disrupt our peace. It's a lovely picture, this idea in Isaiah. It's very pastoral. The trees and the rivers flowing, this God's word going out and being planted as seeds that will sprout. I know that I find peace when I am in nature, especially when I'm near water. This sense of being connected to the earth, to the rhythms of life, it's just calming. I think there's something neurobiologically that our friends from Caltech could probably explain much more eloquently than I can about the goodness of being connected to nature and experiencing peace that way. And it's a lovely picture for World Communion Sunday, as many of you are dressed in clothes that represent the communities that you come from, that your people have come from. But peace isn't always kumbaya moments and singing "In Christ There Is No East or West," is it? Today we remind ourselves that, as Pastor Matt said, we are gathered together in this space at this table with brothers and sisters around the world. But we are certainly not at peace with one another. And we have not been at peace with one another. And I really believe that in order for us to know and experience God's peace, we have to be honest about what the state of our sense of peace is. A few days ago, on September 30th, you may have seen people wearing orange shirts, or you may have seen on social media these things kind of pop up. It was Orange Shirt Day, which is a little different than National Coffee Day, which was also this week. You may have seen that as well. I have a friend who is Native Alaskan, and she was wearing an orange shirt and posted on her social media a little bit more about what this day represents. It's a day in Canada set aside for truth and reconciliation, for Indigenous communities and the settler communities to talk about the truth of residential boarding schools. Residential boarding schools started by churches as missions that ripped people from their communities, that took away language and custom and culture, and certainly did not bring peace. This year at General Assembly, I had the privilege of being the teaching elder commissioner, and one of the many, many things that we talked about at General Assembly was an apology written to an Alaskan church that was closed. And it should not have been closed. It had a vibrant ministry of Indigenous Alaskans. But because of money issues, they were seen as not as important. And so I think 40, 50 years later, our church finally said, "We are sorry, and we are going to give the money back to your community so that you can have a church building and a church again." The context for the audience that Isaiah is writing to is not much different. If you'll remember, the Babylonian captivity has been going on, and now Israelites are able to come back to Jerusalem. This is a song written for those who are coming back from exile. And while that is a joyous thing, to be able to come back to Jerusalem, it is certainly challenging. There isn't the same kind of economic structure that was there before the Babylonian captivity. It's a war-torn area that's not ready to grow crops and be able to sustain a new population. The idea of coming to eat and to drink for free would certainly have been welcome, because not everyone in this audience would have had the means to buy food and drink. We see that even this week as we are watching what happened with Hurricane Ian in Florida and Hurricane Fiona in Puerto Rico, where communities have lost everything and are having to face the challenges that will take years, as we've seen with Hurricane Katrina, to rebuild their communities, to rebuild industry and agriculture and school systems and churches. These challenges to peace are in this text. And so the question that you might have is, where is the peace, Pastor Ali? I think that it's a model for us of reconciliation. And the model begins with coming to the table. this call to come if you are thirsty, to come if you are hungry, and you will be fed for no money, without price, is a call to each of us. The process of knowing peace, of extending peace to our neighbors, begins by being filled up with God, at God's table, sustained by God's presence in our daily lives. And it's an interesting idea. In the ancient Near East, gods were often telling people what to do. Sometimes, as a parent of a three-year-old, I would rather tell my daughter what I need her to do. But that doesn't necessarily bring peace in my house. I don't think it necessarily brought peace in ancient Near Eastern religions either. But God is different. God is inviting God's people to a table, an invitation to relax, to eat, to be filled, to be nourished, to sit. That's unique. That's different. That invitation is extended to you all today as well. God calls us not to fulfill some list of obligations, not to do certain works, but first to come to the table and be fed, and to come back every week. In many Christian traditions, communion is a weekly endeavor, a reminder that we are constantly in need of the kind of refreshment that comes in gathered worship, in reminders of bread and of juice or wine. And once we come to the table, this passage shows us that we begin to experience a knowledge of God that is beyond what we have known before. It's beyond even what we can know. The Apostle Paul talks about seeing in a mirror darkly and then seeing face to face. It's not knowledge, it's knowledge in part now, but it is an expanding knowledge of God and who God is and what God is about in the world. And at this table, we come to that knowledge of God. At this table, we also come to seek God, to call out to God, to ask God our questions. It's a hopeful act. Even in seasons of desperation and doubt, in deep need, to continue to come to the table and ask those questions and cry out in pain and celebrate your joy. This is how I think reconciliation works, not only with God, but with other people. We have to be able to sit at a table for a long time to know one another. And in that sharing, in that free receiving, and in that nourishment, then we can experience peace together because we know each other deeply. We know each other's stories. We see the best in our neighbors, and we can go out together in peace. I think about peace like a river, a flow. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to go on a road trip for about 3 weeks one summer. And Brian, my husband, and I, we drove all the way up to Minnesota, and we landed at Glacier National Park the same time, completely by happenstance, as the Pecor family. And so I don't know if you know this about the Pecors, but they are much better hikers than I am. So my husband and the Pecors went on this beautiful hike to a glacier to see the source of 15,000 miles of streams in Glacier National Park is fed by 25 glaciers. And unfortunately, you need to go now because the glaciers probably won't be there by 2030. But seeing that clean water, that source, and being able to drink it on a hike, it was so refreshing for them. That's how I think about peace. It's that refreshment that keeps you going, that makes that difficult hike or terrain passable. It's responding to your own need to be replenished and restored. It's not pushing past and continuing in your own strength, but acknowledging that you need water to keep moving on a hike. and you need God's peace to keep moving through this life of discipleship. The last part about peace that I think is so important and such a beautiful activity to do on World Communion Sunday is to know yourself, to know your own story. When we wear clothes of our communities, when we speak the language of our ancestors, when we continue in rituals that have been done by generations before us, we are reminded of who we are and who we have come from. We're also reminded of the kind of work that we need to be about. My own story is that I am a Scottish person. My maiden name is Kirk, so I definitely ended up in the right denomination. Kirk is the Scottish word for church, if you didn't know that. My ancestors immigrated to the Southeast, and I don't know the details as well as I know the details of other families, but I know that my family participated in the economics of slavery and benefited from it. My position now is a result of benefits from slavery, from chattel slavery in the Southeast. Even my education at Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama, one of the largest populations of Black Americans in the country and the only Black Americans at Samford played on the basketball team and the football team. I was completely removed in so many ways until I came to Fuller. And suddenly, I lived next door to Korean neighbors who shared kimchi with me for the first time. And I had experiences of living in Botswana and in Montreal and in Northern Ireland. And I saw the world differently, but I saw myself. I saw what I came from and who I was. I saw all the great things that my ancestors had done. And I saw the really horrific truth of the past. And in going into that truth, I have found peace. It's tempting, isn't it, to avoid those challenging stories, to avoid, again, with a three-year-old going through the difficult tantrum. You want to try to find the way around it. But peace, like a river, goes through it. So I invite you all in this work of being community and in knowing peace, for you to be led out in joy and being brought back in peace is a work of knowing your story, is a work of coming to this table every week and being filled up by God's presence. It's certainly not easy, but it is peace. I want to close our time with a reflection. One of the things that I loved been working with Elise at Knox was always finding music and hearing about new artists and new bands and worship leaders that were writing new songs. I love hymns, but I also love songs that speak in a language that's a little bit more familiar to me. One of the bands that I found in the last year is called The Many. And this is a communion song, and this is my prayer for us. When you're not sure who you really are, when all you feel is the shape of your scars, and you have wounds more than you can count, open your eyes, look around. You aren't alone. This is your home. Come and remember who you are here. Do this to remember who I am. Come and remember you belong here. All belong here. At this table, come as you are. Broken and bleeding, that's okay. At this table, eat and be filled. Come and drink in this grace. You aren't alone. This is your home. Come and remember who you are here. Do this to remember who I am. Come and remember you belong here. All belong here. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.